with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives, from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. You may have noticed that lately we've been on something of a sporting theme at AbleQuest, covering sailing, cycling, and the Return to Sport initiative. But this week's program takes sporting for the disabled to a whole new level. Our guest, Ben Felton, is completely blind and is a former world champion with a host of medals and records in rowing and cricket. Many current athletes and Paralympians owe their start to Ben's passion and drive. But that's not the real reason we're talking to Ben today, as you'll find out. After losing his sight as a young man through retinitis pigmentosa, Ben's worldview changed. In his words, "Initially I put limitations on myself, and people put limitations on me, but soon I knew that I had to challenge the boundaries and keep challenging them. You can view your disability as a stumbling block or a stepping stone. When you encounter a problem, the stepping stone attitude will always help you find the solution." Apart from his personal achievements, Ben has founded and run many sporting bodies and is currently president of Blind Sports New South Wales. He is indeed motivational to all, the able-bodied as well as those living with a disability. Marnie Roper spoke by phone to Ben to find out more about the life and vision of this very active and inspirational man.
Good afternoon, Ben. Nice of you to join us on AbleQuest.
Good afternoon, Marnie.
I understand you've always been a mad keen motorbike rider since the age of 7. Before we talk about the challenge ahead of you, with your attempt at the blindfold motorcycle land speed record, tell us a little about that early period.
I grew up in the Blue Mountains and started riding push bikes and motorbikes when I was about 7 years old. I purchased my first motorbike when I was 12 and a half, and pretty much rode around fire trails in the Blue Mountains as a young boy as much as I possibly could, and then progressed into motocross bikes, a little bit more serious. And then I got, when I was 16, 9 months old, like the day I was old enough, I got my learner's permit for a trail bike, started riding on the road, and in my late teens, got into 250 production race days, that sort of track days. And then I bought another road bike. So this is sort of my seventh or eighth motorcycle. The last one I had was the Suzuki G6 1100 Katana, and I used to actually drag race that bike at Oran Park Raceway here when it was still operating. And I actually set an Australian record for the fastest street registered motorcycle down the drag strip. So I gave up. In fact, November of 1989... was the last time I raced a motorcycle, which is 25 years ago this month.
So there's going to be a big comeback. But in those early years, there was a you had a bike accident that was a very revealing time for you.
Yes. I was out one weekend staying at a friend's place, and they had a property 20,000 acres, lots of bush tracks, and I had a motocross bike, and being young and silly, I guess, we were out tearing up and down these tracks at night time without a headlight, of course. Could see no problem under the moonlight, but then I rode under a canopy of trees and all of a sudden I couldn't see and hit the brakes, and I actually hit a tree, and I had hit the tree face first with an open face helmet on and had broken my nose and was knocked unconscious. The next day my mum took me to the doctors because I still had a bit of a headache, and she was a bit worried about possible head injury, so concussion. So up at the doctors, and he looked into the back of my eyes and noticed that there was a bit of pigment, and so I was referred off to the Sydney Eye Hospital, and several months later I was diagnosed with a degenerative eye condition called retinitis pigmentosa. And that was 16 then, and basically the doctors, the prognosis wasn't good, and they just said that, yes, I'll go totally blind, and that it could happen next week, or, you know, it may never happen. So that wasn't a very good prognosis at the age of 16. However, my eyesight was, I could still read the bottom line of an eye chart. It was the first symptoms of night blindness. But I continued to ride and drive cars until I was 24, and I made a decision one day that it was risky to potentially other people, and so I decided that it was time to stop riding and driving, and yeah, when I was about 24 years of age.
It must have been very difficult coming to terms with your permanently deteriorating sight. And at that age, for someone as active as you'd obviously been, you then had a sort of a change of attitude.
It was an extremely difficult time in my life. I was pretty serious into racing. I had a couple of my mates were killed and we were racing bikes. And, you know, when I made that decision, it wasn't just giving up riding and driving. It was actually me, for the first time, having to come to terms with this degenerative eye condition, and I basically had been in denial up until that point. And I guess there was a knock-on effect. Once I decided not to drive and ride, I lost my job, and I had two jobs at the time, and basically lost both my jobs, and, you know, I sort of spiralled into a really dark place for quite a few years. And I guess those of us who have had to experience, you know, a traumatic life experience like that, it was a really difficult time for me. But yeah, that was me, I really having to come to terms with my eyesight. And now I actually went totally blind at the age of 37. So my eyesight deteriorated very quickly, really, for someone with RP. And so I'm actually totally blind now. I have no sight whatsoever. The interesting thing is, Marnie, I must say, I personally find it much easier being a totally than a person with low vision. And that's a really interesting, well, that's my position anyway. I just find it much easier being a totally. So I've got stability for the first time in my life.
I see that you went to university during all this, is that right?
Yes, continued to study.
And then when you finished that, you decided that you could, you know, you could help others in similar position, and you set up the Nepean Blind Sports Club. Tell us a bit about this.
Well, there was a few other people who had established that. I did get involved in that at a very young age. I think I was 27 at the time and became the sports director there, voluntary position. And I had gotten so much through my sport that I played as an able-bodied person, and I figured that one of the best things that I could do to, you know, develop positive attitudes and foster positive cultural change and was to, and Aussies love their sport, so I wanted to make a contribution in creating sporting and recreational opportunities for people with a disability. So the Nepean Blind Sports Club, I was there for many years. In fact, that's when we started, when I was there, we started adaptive rowing 22 years ago, and now it's become a Paralympic sport.
And what other sorts of sports did they do? Rowing?
Rowing, blind cricket, tandem cycling, bushwalking and swimming and learn to swim programs. After that, I became the regional coordinator for Western Sydney for the New South Wales Sports Council for the Disabled. So I established a lot of learn to swim programs throughout the area. Now we have regular swimming carnivals. I was also the founding member of Sailability Penrith Lakes.
Oh, that's interesting. We've just done a program on sailability.
Yes, well, I've been there. I stepped aside. I was the founding member and started there with two borrowed boats and by myself. And today, I think we've got the second biggest sailability club in Australia. I believe we take around about 3,500 people sailing each year. I think we've got about 25 sailing boats. Great program. And it's running very successfully with a fantastic team of people there. And I'm very proud. I can step aside and I've got confidence to know that that's a fantastic program, great club, and it's got a very bright future.
Yes, brilliant. And all this while, doing so much for others, you've personally reached the peak of sporting excellence in both rowing and cricket with a swag of world championship medals to your name. I'm fascinated in particular by the idea of blind cricket. How does that work?
Yes, wonderful game. Blind cricket. Now, basically, it's like a one-day game. We play the same rules with a few modifications. So on a blind cricket team, we have three different eyesight categories. So you must have a minimum of four B1 players or totally blind. So a minimum of four of those, a minimum of two B2s. They've got about, you know, less than roughly 5% vision, and then the remainder of the team can be B3 players, and that consists of a blind cricket team. We bowl underarm, and it's like a one-day format, and we use an international ball, which it's made from hard plastic, and it's got ball bearings in it. So the ball actually sounds like a maraca if you sort of shake it around. And so when, for instance, if I was bowling, for example, I would use the stumps to line myself up, and I would call out to the wicketkeeper, and the wicketkeeper will call my name, and I'll run in, and as I release the ball, as I bowl the ball, I've got to say play, and the batsman knows the ball is on its way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and well, in Australia, in fact, there's an Australian team that's just been selected that's heading off to South Africa to play in the World Cup of Blind Cricket in November and December, later this month. So I've played in the World Cup in Pakistan in 2006. I've been fortunate enough to play. I've done a tour of South Africa. I've even played in two Blind Cricket Ashes series, one in England and one here in Australia. In fact, I was the chairman of the first Blind Cricket Ashes series here in Australia, when we hosted England and we played a five-match series. Blind cricket is huge in countries like India and Pakistan, Sri Lanka. My last tour was in the West Indies 3 years ago, and after that tour I realised I wasn't as agile as I used to be, and so I sat down under a coconut palm and thought, well, what am I going to do next? And that's where the whole idea of...
And, of course, the obvious choice of sport was high-speed motorcycle riding.
Well, I kind of figured that the thing I missed the most when I went blind, was losing my sight and having to give up... Look, giving up driving was an inconvenience, but giving up riding motorcycles was a passion, and I really missed that more than anything else. And I always dreamed about racing motorcycles as a kid. That was my number one choice. And when I'm sitting under this coconut palm and the Isle of Barbados, and I thought, well, what do I really want to do? And my dream was to race motorcycles. And I kind of figured, well, you know, oh, you can't do that. You're blind. You know, how are you going to ride a bike blind? And I thought, yeah, I reckon I could do this. And so when I got home, first thing I did was jumped on the internet and Googled, you know, blindfold land speed record, and bingo. And I found out that there's other guys around the world who have attempted similar records, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do.
And you'll just have to tune in to the next AbleQuest to hear about Ben's fascinating attempt to capture the world blindfold motorcycle land speed record. Now, on a completely different subject before we finish today's program, we want to alert listeners to the upcoming Access All Areas Film Festival, which increases cinema access for people with disabilities. You might remember an AbleQuest conversation with Karina Libby, the festival manager, in late 2013. Well, it's that time again. The festival is running from December the 1st to the 5th in various venues, with the Australian true life drama Tracks as the feature film. Access features include open captions, Auslan interpretation, audio descriptions, hearing loops, wheelchair access and seating. In New South Wales, there are screenings in the Sydney CBD, Parramatta, Campbelltown, Casula and regional centres. The festival's website has all the details, which is www.AAAFF.com.au. That's AAAFF.com.au. It's free to attend, by the way, but you should make a booking. To do so, call 02-9281-5608. That's 9281-5608. Or send an email to bookings@thefestivalists.com. You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.